Okay, we are, our daf is daf yud. We're going to start on Tet Amabet. We're going to go back. We were in the middle of, if you look at the chart, I made a sheet for today. If you look at the chart, we had three differences between the Get and Shechur Avadim on the one hand. Right? We said the Get and Shechur Avadim, for the most part, have the same laws. And then we have Shar Shtarot. So we're going to talk about differences between regular documents and Gitin and Shechur Avadim. Okay, so we had number one difference, Molichu Mevi, right? You have to say B'fanei Nechtam just for the Get and Shechur Avadim, not for a regular Shtar. The Eig Kuti is Kashir for a Get and Shechur Avadim, but not for Shar Shtarot. We're going to talk more about that today. And the third one we're also going to talk about more today, which is if they're olim be'erka oshel of de kochavim, even though they're chatimot or of de kochavim, it's kasher for regular shtarot, but dafka for get nashim shechur avadim, it's not. Okay, the next two mishnayot are going to deal with these two issues. Then Rabbi Meir said there's an additional one. Remember, one said there was three, and then Rabbi Meir said there's four, and then the Gemara said, well, why is there four? It must be to take away, to exclude a fifth. So Rabbi Meir said, if you say ten gedzel ishi ushtar shechur zel avdi, you can still change your mind, because we're not sure if it's a zchut or a chava for the woman to be divorced or the eved to be meshuchra. Whereas, with Shar Shtarot, if you're going to give something to somebody else, it's always a zchut for them, and we have this concept, zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. So therefore, as soon as you tell the shaliach to do it, then it's already as if it's done, because the shaliach gets it for the other person. He's zoche. He sort of acquires it for the other person. Then we said there was this last mikra of edim she'en yodim lachtom. And then there was the thing about if they don't know how to sign, so then you make those edges in the sheet, and then you just fill it up with geo. And we only allow that for a get and not for the shar shtarot. Okay, and that was the fifth, that again, there was a machloket about it, and that's why it was a fifth, and not everyone else agreed that that's the case. Okay, so now we're going to start from the two dots in the middle of the page. V'tu leka, is there really not anything else? V'ha'ika, aren't there more? What's this case? Ha'omer tnu getzel ishti ushtar shechur zel avdi v'meit lo yitnu la'achar mita. So if you say, give this get to my wife, or give this shtar shechur to my eved, and then he dies before they got it, lo yit, we don't get it after death. But if you say tnu manela ploni vameh yitnu la'achar mita, but if you say give this gift to someone, right? That's the manat shchiv merah. Then we do give it. So then they say no, because ki katane milta deleite b'shtara, milta deite b'shtara lo katane. While it's one thing that if you say give this gift to this person when I die, we do it. But if you say write a shtar and give it to this person, and then he dies before they wrote the shtar, then you don't give it. Because if he wanted the shtar, then he wanted the shtar. And if the shtar didn't get written before he died, then it doesn't work. So therefore, this is not a difference between shar shtarot and gitin, because it's the same across the board. And that's why they don't add it to the list. Okay, now they're going to have another question.
Sorry,
here we're going to see the case. Okay, they're still proving this. How do we know that it's Ita B'Shar Shtarot? Because it says there was this case where Rabin sends in the name of Rabbi Avau, that you should know that Rabbi Elazar sent this message to the Golam Yishum Rabbeinu. Shchiv Merasha Amar Kitvu Utnu Manele Ploni Vameit. Okay, here we're going to see it explicitly. If you say, write and give this get to so-and-so, and then he dies before they do it, before they did it, what's the issue? Shema lo gamar lahaknoto ela b'shtar, ve'ein shtar la'achar mita. Maybe he really didn't want to give it to him. There's a concept of, sometimes you just give a gift, but sometimes you want it to go along with a document, like written proof. And if there was no, you can't write a shtar for someone once they're already dead. And therefore, if he said, I want you to give this to somebody with a shtar, then obviously he didn't intend for you to give it to him without the shtar. So therefore, if he didn't write the shtar when he was alive, you can't write it when he's dead. And therefore, what do you prove here? That ein shtar la'achar mita is a concept that's across the board, both for gitin and for dine mamonot and other things. And therefore, that wasn't listed in this list. Okay, that was the whole question. Why do we only have these three, four, or five and not that one? And that's because that's not a difference. Now we're going to have another question like that. Baha ika lishma. What about the issue of lishma? Remember we talked about that they learned from la, the word la, the katav la, there has to be lishma in it. And then we said also for Shechor Avadim it says la with the shifcha. And therefore they learned that what's true about that is true for the Shechor Avadim, especially the halacha of lishma. Also has to be lishma. So we also have lishma, which obviously doesn't exist in other shtarot. Baha bishlama l'rabba. They say, oh, well, to Rava, with a hey, who says that the whole issue of Bifanai Nechtav is because of the issue of Lishma. So he already lists Molicho Mevi as one of the differences, and that's basically synonymous with Lishma, because that's the reason why he thinks you have to say Bifanai Nechtav. So therefore, you wouldn't have a question, according to him. Ela L'Rava, but L'Rava, who thinks that Molicho Mevi has to do with Ein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, has nothing to do with Lishma, and therefore Lishma should have been listed as a separate entry. Vitu, and additionally, Bein L'Rava, whether you're Rava or you're Rava, it doesn't make a difference, there's another difference. Ha'ika Mechubar. Both of these things, remember, it can't be Mechubar when you sign it, remember? Or maybe even when you write it, right? There was a Machloket about whether the Ketiva or just the Chatima has to be when it's Talush, but also it can't be written on Mechubar. And those are unique to get in Shechor Avadim. Because why was that? Because remember it says, v'katav v'natan la, that there can't be any break between the ketiva and the netina. It can't be that you're chaser ma'aseh, that you have to actually do something like taking it, detaching it from the ground before you can give it to her. It has to be totally ready for giving. So now they say, okay, so why aren't these listed? L'shma v'chubar. So what do they answer? Ki katane, this list, okay, now we're going to say what makes this list unique, that's not added, that didn't add other things. Because ki katane, when they wrote this list, what were they talking about? Psula derabanan. They were only talking about psulim derabanan. But deoraita lo katane. But they weren't referring to psulim deoraita. Okay, so that's their new answer. Okay, so now we have to check this answer out. Does this answer really work? Are all these really only derabanans and not deoraita? Okay, because obviously the Shema and Mechubar come from Deoraita. So what do they say? Wait a minute. Baha erkaot shel ovdei kochavim. Okay, so now we're going to have, if you follow on the, I tried to list it here so you can follow like what we're up to. So we're in the middle of this. We had this koshi about Lishma and Mechubar, right? First we had this question, why didn't you add this new getz eli shishar shachor lavdi? And what did we say? Those are, right, the list didn't include things that's across the board in all shtarot. And this is an all shtarot. Then they said, what about Lishma Mechubar? So we're going to say Psulim Deoraita Nat Rabbanan. So we're going to have two questions about this, okay? Two things on the list that are going to be problematic. So now they're going to say, V'hayar ka'ochel of de'kochabim de'psula deoraita hu. V'katane. Okay? So what about the fact that Erka'otav of de'kochabim, that's a psulmi d'oraita. We don't accept testimony of Avdei Kochavim on a d'oraita level. So how could you say that that's included here? You know, that shouldn't be on this list, because the fact that they can't sign any get is a halacha mi d'oraita.
Why is it a halacha mi d'oraita?
So, right, it's a good question. Why exactly is halacha mi d'oraita? So the assumption is that if you need chatimot mi d'oraita, then you need chatimot that are k'shirim. Right, if you have Eidim Psulim, which of De Kochavim or Eidim Psulim, clearly. So if you have Eidim Psulim that sign on your document, then basically.
Then why does it work on documents?
So why does it work? So we're going to see now. Okay? Bekatane, and yet it's listed. So what's the answer? Be Eidim Mesira ukirabi Elazar, Damar, Eidim Mesira Karte. Remember I told you we're going to go back to this Eidim Mesira or Eidim Chatima? If you hold Eidim Chatima Karte, that they're the ones who really form the get, then you have no choice but to say that it's a psul midoraita that Ovdei Kochavim sign. But if you say that the Eidei Chatim are not critical, you really, what do you need? Who are the critical Eidim? The Eidei Mesira, who see him give the get to the woman. If they're the critical Eidim, then what happens? The Eidei Chatim are just midorabanan. And then we're going to see this Mishnah later on, which says, the Ein Eidim Chotmim al Get Elam Pnei Tikkun Olam. So the need for chatimot is only derabanan, and therefore having Ovdei Kochavim sign it is only midorabanan. Okay, And there, and it's a psul only midrabbanan. For other shtarot, you could say also the same thing, which is that the shtar is just a proof of the act, but the act is what's more important. Okay?
How would you have a get in an idolatrous court?
How could you have, right, how would you have had a get that was signed in an idolatrous court? Right. It's like having a civil divorce, I guess, but somehow you used a get document. Right, it wouldn't be called a get. Right, it's a little strange to wonder how this exactly came about.
The monetary thing I get, right, like a contract,
right,
house.
Well, that's what they're saying, in essence. They're saying that it's pasul. In other words, you can't do that kind of a thing. You can't have it signed. The same way you could go have your house signed in a non-Jewish court, you can't do that when it comes to get. And that's what we discussed yesterday, that the
right,
difference
but
between them...
It can be processed. How do you even process it yet?
Right. They're saying in theory. In other words, in theory, it could be. And then it's only us or me. It still can't be done with Darabanan. They're just saying it's only Darabanan that it can't be done. And not to Oraita. Because they're saying on a Oraita level, in theory, theoretically, it wouldn't be a problem. Because the get is not so important. It's the signing of the get is not as important as the giving of the get.
Okay.
It's theoretical. I don't think they really thought this was going to happen. Okay. And that was the distinction we made yesterday between that and other things, where other things you could have a court decide about. But, you know, it's something that regular courts would deal with, and it's one of the mitzvot b'nei Noach to have courts and a system of law, etc. But when it comes to things that are specifically uniquely Jewish and have a certain element of, you know, the halakhic aspects of it, then it's already problematic. So anyway, this is all to show it's only us from Midrabanan, because the Edim Asir are the critical ones. So now they say, well, wait a minute. This doesn't really make much sense, though, because to say he holds like Rabbi Elazar is a problem. Because what's the Sefer of the Mishnah? Hamidi Katani Sefer, if you remember. Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Eluk Shirim. Right, he said there, right, if you look back for a second at the Mishnah, it's not the Mishnah, sorry. Right, no, it's the next Mishnah. Sorry, it's the next Mishnah, okay? Two Mishnayot. We're going to see this later today, sorry. Okay, look ahead for 1 minute at Yud Amud Bet. It says, Kol ha-shtarot ha-olim be'erkaot shel ovdei kohavim, af al-pi shechot mehem ovdei kohavim, kshirim, chutz migitei nashim b'shechurei avadim. That's what we learned the difference, okay? Yud Amud Bet. That was what we learned so far. But now Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Eluk Shirim, even if they're done, okay, he disagrees. He says, even if they're done in a non-Jewish court, again, the Shekhor Evid, it works. The Lohus Karu, what's the problem? Elab is manchen asuba hedyo. If they're done in an actual non-Jewish court, it's okay. If they're done by random non-Jewish people, it's not okay. Okay, like let's say you got three non-Jewish people together to make up a Beit Din. That wouldn't work. But in an official court of the Beit Din, it works. So now, they try to figure out, well, what's Rabbi Shimon basing his opinion on? How could that be? So, Shoshana, your question would be more relevant according to Rabbi Shimon, really. How does he think that really this is okay? And what's his reality for this situation? So then they say, Ba'amar Rabbi Zera, Yarab Rabbi Shimon l'shitatosha Rabbi Elazar damar edim esira karte. Okay, when Rabbi Zera comes to explain it, what does he say? Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Elazar, the edim esira karte. So what can you infer from here? If Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Elazar, then Tanakama must not hold like Rabbi Elazar, and that knocks down our whole shita, in which case, what would we come up with? Okay, what are we up to? If, right, Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama disagree about this issue, Rabbi Shimon is more Mekel, right? So why is Rabbi Shimon more Mekel? According to Rabbi Zera, because he holds like Rabbi Elazar, which means that Tanakama must hold like Rabbi Meir, that it's Ede Chatima Karte, right? Okay, it's Ede Chatima Karte, well then, what's our problem? It's Asher Midoraita, and that blows our entire theory that we were trying to say, that this Mishnah doesn't list all the Doraita things. And then we're back to the question of, why doesn't it say Lishma, why doesn't it say Mechubar? Okay? So now what are they going to answer? So the first thing you say, Mechlal de Tanakama Savrad Lo. So they say, no. You could still say that Tanakama also holds like Rabbi Elazar. Okay? In which case, that would resolve our issue, right? That Tanakama holds like Rabbi Elazar. Now, what's going to be his issue? If you remember, we learned that Rabbi Elazar is modeh b'mezuyach mitocho shul pasul. Remember he said that if, on the one hand, you don't have to have edim chutzmim al hashtar midoraita, but if you had edim and they're edim psulim, okay, which would be our example, non-Jewish people, then the shtar is no good. Now, what's the concern for that? The concern is that people will think that if there are edim in it, we can rely on the Ede Chatima, we don't need to find the Ede Mesira. In other words, if we're in a lurch, we can rely on those. Now, if you have Eidim Psulim, well, then you for sure can't rely on them. And therefore, if there's Eidim Psulim, we can't rely on this get at all, because the concern is that people might hold by the shtar itself and not go look for Eidim Mesira to uphold this get. So now, what's going to be the difference lahalacha between them if we say this? Ika Beinayu, so they both hold like Rabbi Elazar, the Eidim Mesira Karte. But what's the difference between them? Shemot Mufakim. Okay. We all know that people name their kids names that are sometimes, right, there's some names that non-Jews and Jews share, and there's some names that are clearly 100% non-Jewish names, okay? Maybe not always 100%, but, right, certainly this is a timely thing also. In their days, there were names that clearly overlapped, that non-Jews and Jews had alike, and then there were names that were 100% non-Jewish names, okay? Like, how often do you meet someone named Christopher who's Jewish, right? Okay, there's certain names that are clear non-Jewish names. The Gemara is going to actually get into this tomorrow stuff about what are the names that are considered these kind of names. So now, let's say your get is signed by names that are Shemot Mufakim, they're clearly non-Jewish names. So now in that case, even though it's Mezuyach Mitocho, because the Eidim are Psulim, we don't have to worry that you'll rely on them to be your Eidim, because you know they're non-Jewish. So if you have a document like that, no one's going to say, oh, this document is good based on those signatures. They're going to have to go find the Eidim Asira, in which case it would be okay if you hold like Rabbi Elazar. Okay, because it's 100% clear that they're non-Jews and that we can't rely on them. So, Ika Beinayu Shemot Muvakim, which means, okay, so if you look at, Rashi is going to explain that Tanakama holds like Rabbi Elazar, okay, and he passes Midrabanan, okay, Dilma Ate Lemismacha Chatumim Ulimasro Bifnehem. In other words, they're worried you're going to rely on the Chatumim and give the get using them. But Ate Rabbi Shimon Lememar Im Shemot Muvakim, that's not Mizuyaf Mitocho that we're talking about. Okay, so now there's a machloka between them about whether if there's Shemot Mufakim, whether you can use this or not. Okay, that's the machloka between them. So they both hold a leave it to Rabbi Elazar. They just have a different opinion when it comes to Shemot Mufakim, whether this would work or not. Okay, so now, last question, okay, and then we're done. So that answered it up. It's really only Drabbanan issue because they both hold like Rabbi Elazar. They just have a difference about whether they have Shemot Mufakim in the get. Would that make it okay or not okay? V'ha Chazara Da'oraita. What about Chazara? The issue, right, the second case there, which case is Chazara? Here, Rabbi Meir, the fourth, number four, right? Remember, the first guy said there were only three, then Rabbi Meir added number four. And he said, remember, the Zachin la'adam shel abafanav, ve'en chavin la'adam shel abafanav. So if you are mezakeh, right, you give a get to a shaliach, you're not mezakeh the woman, because we don't know if, right, until she actually gets it, he can change his mind. Okay, we're going to see, by the way, lots of cases, you remember these, about lots of cases where you give a get, and then, as the shaliach's on the way, okay, this is Perek HaShaliach Get, when we get to the fourth Perek, he gives the get, he sends the shaliach, and then he decides, while the shaliach's on the way, I want to cancel the get, okay, and creates lots of problems for the woman. See why when we get there. So what about Chazara? That's Doraita. That's a halacha midoraita. Whether he's mizaka or midoraita or he's not. That's a Doraita issue. So what are the answer? Elaki katane milta deleta bikidushin. Milta deita bikidushin lo katane. So now they're saying the things that they added in here were things that aren't in kidushin, but things that are part of kidushin, it doesn't say here. So now, one second. It's according to but they did list it. I'm just confused for one second. I wrote this wrong on the sheet. Right. This, so basically, this question remains. This question stands. So Chazara is a Doraita issue, and yet it's listed, and therefore we reject this whole answer of Doraita. Okay? In other words, that's not the distinction that it's making, okay? And why is Lishma, and right, so now we have this question, We answered up that it's all lishma and mechubar aren't listed because they're d'oraita, they're d'oraita issues, and all these are d'rabbanan. Now we say no. This clearly has d'oraita issues, so now we need a different answer. So the answer is which things are listed, which things aren't. So ki katane milta deleita b'kiddushin. They're only things that aren't in kiddushin also. Whereas lishma and mechubar, if you were to get married with a shtar, only if you're going to get married with a shtar. But if you were to get married with a shtar, it would also need to be lishma and also need to be mechubar, okay, before you sign the shtar. So therefore, what are they saying? This was only to distinguish between get and shechur avadim as opposed to all other shtara. But things that would be get, shechur avadim, and kiddushin aren't listed, okay? Because it wanted things that were unique only to get and shechur avadim. And that's why those aren't listed. So now they're going to say, wait a minute, ha-chazar gufa ita b'kiddushin, okay, we're almost at the end here. Okay, what about chazara? Chazara is an issue that if you gave a shtar and it didn't yet get to the woman, okay, you gave it to the shaliach. Again, we don't know, is kiddushin is chud or is it a chova? So therefore, if you would send it to her, right, what would be the halacha? She wouldn't be married until it gets to her, right? So that would be the same. And that's also kiddushin. So you can't say that it doesn't list things that are in kiddushin, right, that are also in kiddushin. So therefore, what do we answer? No, there is a case of chazara. There's a difference between chazara and get shechur avadim when it comes to this issue of chazara. B'shlichu ba'al korcha, debegerushin ita, bekidushin leita. There's a unique type of shlichut that's only for get and shechur avadim. And therefore, in discussing the shlichut issue, even though while it's true he can be chozer bo, but there's a difference between the type of shlichut. It's not like a perfect answer because it still has the similar halacha, but they're saying the shlichut is different. And why is that? Because when you send a shaliach to get married, okay, and this is something we talked about in the beginning, about gitin, that gitin can be done against her will, okay? And that it's only from Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom, many, many, many years later, in the year, 1,000-something, I forget exactly what year, but Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom instituted that you can't divorce a woman against her will, right? That's why we have a heter me'ara banim, because you can be matir, the Takanat Rabbeinu Gershom, but kiddushin can't be done ba'al korcha, and therefore it's a different type of shlichut because the shaliach doesn't just go and drop it and that's it, right? The shaliach of a get can throw it into her property and she's divorced. As long as it enters her property, he throws it over the wind, throws it over the gate of her house and she's divorced. Okay, we'll see cases like that, but and shechur avadim the same, but when it comes to kiddushin, it's different, and therefore you can't. That's why this issue is a shlichus issue, and the shlichut of kiddushin is different from the shlichut of gitin and shechur avadim, and that's why this is on the list, even though it's things that aren't necessarily in kiddushin. Okay, it's a weak answer, but again, you can always look at this as why did they list certain things and not other things? Maybe they, left them off the list. They didn't, I don't know. They're just because people make a list of things doesn't mean the list is entirely inclusive of everything. Right? It's like when people get up to speak and they say, I don't want to start thanking people because I'm sure I'm going to leave somebody out. Right? And you don't always have everything top of your head. And sometimes you're listing a bunch of things for people. And it could be, by the way, another good explanation is, it could be that Lishma and Mechubar were so obvious that they didn't need saying. And they were saying the things that were maybe a little less obvious differences. It's possible, right? Because you could see how these are not as obvious differences. Although Tzarich Lamar Fana Nechtam is, but the Eikuti and the Erkao, right? Those probably weren't the most common of cases in the first place. So anyway, there could be other possible theories. Okay, now we're going to get into these cases. Like you saw already, the next mission is going to be about the Erkao. This one's going to be about the Eikuti. Kol get sheyesh lo Eikuti pasul. Notice how they say aid kuti and not edim kutim, right? So the question is going to be here, do they mean one witness who's a kuti, but one Jewish witness, and then it's okay? Or do they mean even if it has two edim kutim that are in it, it's also good? So now we're going to see ma'aseh sheviu lefnei rabban gamliel lekfar otnai, get isha, vayu edav edei kutim, v'hichshir. So now they bring a ma'aseh where there were two edim kutim, Rabban Gamliel said, it's okay. So for sure Rabban Gamliel holds too. It's just a question of Tanakhama. Is the ma'aseh that they brought with Rabban Gamliel contradicting Tanakhama? Or is it basically supporting Tanakhama? Okay, does Tanakhama hold only one eikuti is okay? Or does Tanakhama hold two is okay? So first question is, mani matnitin. Wait a minute. This Mishnah doesn't seem to match any opinion that we know about kutim in general. Okay, so now you can look at the chart at the bottom of the page. Here are the three opinions about the matzah of a kuti. So we're going to say it's lo Tanakama, velo Rabbi Elazar, velo Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, it doesn't match any of the opinions we know about these three perspectives on kutim when it comes to matzah. Detanya, matzat kuti. Okay, if you have the matzah that a kuti made, muteret. Not only is it mutar, but we have the special halacha to be yotze, right? Yudei chovato of the mitzvah of matzah. It has to be shmur matzah, right? It has to be shamur. Kutim are even, right? They're even trusted for shmirah. Okay, remember, this is all if you hold that kutim are gerei emet and not gerei arayot, right? This mishnah is all, this braita that we see here with these three opinions. Okay, or at least we're going to see, depending on all, but for sure Tanakama holds that they're gerei emet. Otherwise, he wouldn't accept their matzah. Rabbi Elazar osir lefisha ein bekim b'dikduke mitzvot. Okay, he says, no, it's totally usir. You can't eat the matzah. You certainly can't be yotzei yedei chova because they're not bekim in mitzvot. Rashba gomer, kol mitzvah shechziku bakutim, harbe medakdikim bayoter miYisrael. Okay, what does he say? It depends which mitzvah. There's mitzvah that they don't do, and those can't rely on them. But there's mitzvah that they do do, and not only can you rely on them, but they're more reliable than Jews, right? You can imagine this type of thing, right? Sometimes people who aren't, you know, but what they do keep, they keep really well, right? That's their attitude. Okay, so now, let's try each opinion. Mani, itanakama. So remember what our Mishnah says. In Eikuti, right, is... when it comes to get and shechur avadim, right? What do we say? It's good. When it comes to shar shtarot, we say it's no good. Okay? So now we're going to have to figure out logically why it would be good for one and not good for the other. So, e Tanakama afilu shar shtarot nami. According to Tanakama, they're full-fledged Jews. They keep all their mitzvot. It should be fine for all documents. E Rabbi Elazar afilu get isha nami lo. According to Rabbi Elazar, they don't keep any mitzvot, so it shouldn't be good to even forget. Vi Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel e de ichzuk afilu shar shtarot nami. E de lo ichzuk afilu get isha nami lo. In other words, if they're believed for documents, right, it should be like one general topic, documents. So are they believed or are they not trusted? So therefore, it doesn't make any sense. So now they want to know, wait, the chi tema, and if you want to say, from Shim ben Gamliel here, that it really is Rabban Shim ben Gamliel, udi ichzuk baha, velo ichzuk baha, right? And they're trusted when it comes to get nashim and shechur avadim, but they're not trusted when it comes to monetary documents, let's say. Ihachi, but then there's something that doesn't jive here. My iria chad. Now the assumption right now is that we're talking about, when the Tanakama said his opinion, he meant only one eid kuti is kasher. So if that's the case, why only one? Afilu treinami. If they're trusted, then two edim kutim should be able to sign on the document. And alama amar, and if you want to say maybe that the Mishnah only means, you know, two edim kutim, alama amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay, now we're flipping between two different Rabbi Elazars. The Rabbi Elazar we were talking about before was a Tana. Now there's Rabbi Elazar the Emora, who's an Emora from Eretz Yisrael. That's why he's called Rebbe, because only Emoraim in Eretz Yisrael were called Rebbe. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, when Rabbi Elazar learned this Mishnah, what did he say? Lo hichshiru bo ela eid achad kuti bovad. He explained the Mishnah saying when they said it's okay for get nashim, they only meant one and not two. Okay, if you had two edim, it wouldn't be good. So if that's the case, you can't explain it according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, because Shimon ben Gamliel would hold if either they're trusted or they're not trusted. If they're trusted, then you should be able to have two edim kutim on your get. And Rabbi Elazar explained our Mishnah as saying it only allows one. Again, obviously Rabban Gamliel says you can have two, right? But that's a different opinion, and we're trying to understand Tanakama's opinion. So what do they answer? Le'olam, now we're flipping back to the Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, okay? Le'olam Rabbi Elazar, okay, who said, remember that? It's a mitzvah, shechziku bakutim harbe midaktikim bayoter miYisrael. U'kigon dechatim Yisrael levasof. So what does this mean? It's a case where you have a get, and then there's two spaces for a signature. So at the bottom, a Yisrael signed, and at the top was a kuti. So now the assumption is that they sign in order, right? First, the first person signs, and the second person signs, right? If you get a document to sign and there's blank lines, so you're going to sign on the first one. So now, the assumption is that the Yisrael, we're going to see this concept in Sanhedrin also a bit, that if somebody signs on a document, they're going to make sure that whoever they're signing with is also good, because you wouldn't sign, there's this concept, Eini dim chotmim al hashtar ela, forget what it is, but they're not going to sign unless they know who they're signing with, because otherwise, if you sign with a puzzle aid, it's going to reflect badly on you that you're signed on this messed up document. So the assumption is if the Yisrael signs second, okay, this isn't exactly that, because this assumes that maybe they didn't sign at the same time, but if he signs at the bottom, then the assumption is, and the kuti's on top, then what are we going to say? That he made sure that this kuti was one of those legitimate kutim that he talked about, right? That if a kuti takes on a mitzvah, he does it even better than Yisrael. And therefore, the Yisrael would only sign if he knew who the kuti was who signed before him. Okay, so now, obviously, they're going to say, well, ihachi shar shtarot nami, right? Then it should work for other shtarot in the same way. And la'amrinan, so why doesn't it work for shar shtarot? And now what they're going to say is basically, the reason it wouldn't work for shar shtarot, we can also use as a reason why it shouldn't work here, and therefore reject this line of thinking. And la'amrinan, you could say that ravcha, revach, right, a space, meaning he signed second and left the first one blank, okay? Why would you do that? What could be a logical reason why you might have left the first one blank? Shavik l'man dekashish mine. He might have left it for someone who was older than him. Okay, what does that mean? Right, out of respect. It's more respectful to have the older person, the more respected person, sign first. So it could be he signed, left it blank for someone else to fill in. And therefore, when the kuti comes and signs, right, doesn't necessarily mean anything. So therefore, that must be why it doesn't work for shar shtarot. And if it doesn't work for shar shtarot, then hachanami, rav hashavik l'man dekashish mine. Then you can say the same thing in your get case, and it shouldn't work. So amar rav papa, Zot omeret, Rav Papa says, the fact that this does work must mean this. Zot omeret, that eidei haget ein chotmim ze velo ze. The fact that they allow it by get and not by shar shtarot must be because get has a unique halacha that you can't sign a get without the other eidim being there. You have to sign the get together. Whereas if it's a shtar for money, one could sign and then another one can sign, right? We have this all the time nowadays, right? You need a signature from one person, you get it. You get a signature from someone else, right? They scan it in. Nobody sees the other person, right? They have nothing to do with each other. But a get can't be done. And that's what he's saying. From here, we can infer that the fact that it works by get must be that they both sign. Now it doesn't really matter if he signed above or below, because now they're saying it doesn't matter who signed when. The fact is they must have signed at the same time. And that's why we trust in a kuti when he's together with a Jew. Because we can assume that the Jew wouldn't sign with the kuti unless he knew that the kuti was a good kuti and knew what he was doing. Okay, so now, what's the reason? Okay, this sounds very nice, but why would there be a unique halacha baget that ein chotmim ze below ze? Okay, what's the reason? In my time, Amar Rav Ashi, gzera mishum kulchem. Okay, kulchem is a case where you say, we have a group of a bunch of us right here, and I say to all of you, I say, kuchem, okay, I'm not a man, but let's say I was a man, and I say, kuchem kitvu get lishti. Okay? I say, I want all of you to write the get for my wife. Okay? Now, what happens in this case? Okay? Everybody has to be signed on the get, because I said kuchem. Okay? So, if I just said it, we're going to see this case in the fourth parak. Do you remember this? Yeah? So, we learned this. So, in the fourth parak, it comes up that if you say, Tznu get lishti, and you say it in front of 10 people, so only one person needs to write it, two people need to sign, and that's it. But if I say the word kulchem, everybody needs to. So, now what's the issue? If you say, so Rav Ashi says, the reason why ein chotmim ze below ze is because of the gzera mishum kulchem. What's the concern? That in the case of kulchem, everybody needs to sign, so we need to all do it together to make sure everybody gets signed, right? If you don't have everyone together, then the get will be pasul. So you want to make sure that, now it's not 100% clear to me why exactly you need everyone to actually sign zebifnei zeh, but it could be because that way we ensure that everyone signs on the get. That we make sure everyone gets together first and then everyone signs, because otherwise you can imagine, right, most of the people will sign, they'll think it's everyone, they didn't pay attention exactly who was there and who wasn't, and then the get will be totally pasul. If he says kuchem, and it's not kuchem, it's a get pasul, what will happen? She'll get the get, she'll think it's a good get, and she won't be divorced, and then we'll have a major problem because she'll be an eish adish. We certainly want to avoid that. So therefore we insist that everybody signs together, and therefore they made a gzeirah that in any case, all the Edom sign together, so that when there's a case of Kulchem, they'll make sure that they know the halacha, everybody has to sign together, and then we won't end up with a problem in that case. Okay? And that's why Get Hithuni Kalacha, everyone has to sign Zeh B'Fnei Zeh, and that all explains why one A Kuti is Kasher if he's with the Yisrael, Dafka in Get and not in anything else. Because in any other shtar, they don't have to sign together, and therefore, there's no way to know if this Kuti was legit or not.
Is that the case for Get Shechor as well?
Yeah, so then it would be the same for Shechor Avadim. Okay, and that's just because we learn all the same halachot. It probably would also be the same. If he writes a shtar Shechor for his Eved and says Kulchem, it would probably be the same halacha, I would guess. Okay, Gufa. Now we're going to go back. What is Gufa? We're going to go in depth into something we mentioned previously. Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo hechshiru bo ela eg echad kuti bovav. Remember, Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, in explaining our Mishnah, said it's talking about one egg kuti. So now they say, well, that doesn't make any sense. My kamashmalan. Why would you need to say that? Why would he need to tell us something that it says explicitly in the Mishnah? Tanina, it says in the Mishnah, kol get sheyesh alav egg kuti pasul. And the Mishnah said it in singular form. So shouldn't it be obvious from the Mishnah that that's the case? So what do they say? No, it's not necessarily so obvious. Because imi matznitim, remember what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah was telling the differences between the get nashim and the shechor avadim versus all other shtarot. So if you just had it from the Mishnah, hava aminu afilu trei nami, you would have thought even two edim kutim or psulim. Behind the katan echad, so why did it just say it in singular? Mishum de bishtarot afilu chad namilo, because they wanted to tell you about all other documents, that in all other documents, even one wouldn't be good, right? In other words, with get, you can have two kutim, okay? But with shtar shtarot, even one is no good. Okay, you follow? That's the logic why it said it in singular, to show that even one is no good on the other hand, but when it comes to get, it could be two, and that's why he needed to come and tell you, no, it's not the case that two kutim is good, right? It's only one kuti that's good, and that's all for the reason we established in the Gemara just before. So that's what they're going to say. Hava mir afilu trei nami, right? Zahad katan echad mishum b'shtarot afilu chad nami lo kamash malan. Kamash malan always means, and that's why it came to teach us, right? It said it specifically again, right? Rabbi Elazar had to teach us that because we wouldn't have necessarily been able to infer it 100% from the Mishnah, because you could have said the Mishnah used singular form to say that even one is no good for the shar shtarot. So now they say, kamash v'trei lo, and two is really not good for a get. V'ha katani, doesn't it say in the Mishnah? Maseh v'yivyu lefnei rabban gamliel l'kvaro t'nai get yishafa yu edave de kutim v'hichshir. So how could you say two is no good if the Gemara, right? Remember the structure of the Mishnah. That's why I put it here also in a table format. There's one line that says, kol get sheyesh alav eg kuti pasul chutz migitei nashim v'shechor avadim. The second line says, there was a maaseh where they were machshir a get with two edim, which sounds like it could be, right, two edim kutim, which sounds like two edim kutim could be okay. So now we're going to have two interpretations of what's going on with that second line, what the point is. So one amends the text, okay, it changes it. So what are the answer? Amar Abaye, Tanei Edo. You should read it as Edo and not Edim. Okay? Haya Edo Ed Kuti. Okay? He changes it. He says it's not Edav Ed Kutim, it's Edo Ed Kuti. Okay? It's a mistake in the text. And really, Rabban Gamliel was bringing this maaseh, was about a single Ed. Rava Amar Laolam Tre. Rava says, no. Don't change the text. It really does mean to. Rabban Gamliel Miflag Palig. He disagrees. Okay, we have two opinions here, and that's how we understood the Mishnah in the first place, right? There's two opinions. B'chisura machasra v'hachi katani. Really, it's missing words. What should it really say? Rabban Gamliel machshir b'shnayim, right? He disagrees. U'maseh nami, and not only does he disagree, but there was actually a maseh where that happened. She'evir lefnei Rabban Gamliel l'kfarot and I get yishava yu'e davidei kutim b'chshir. Okay? You have to wonder about Rabban Gamliel, who was so, right, he was the one who kept his Beit Midrash so closed and wouldn't let everybody in, and yet here, he's allowing Edim Kutim, which is just interesting. Obviously, he had a different visa about the Kutim. Okay, next topic. Kol ha-shtarot ha-olim be'erka'ot shel avdei kochavim, right, any shtar that happens, and what is this? It happens in a non-Jewish court. It was ole, right? It came before a non-Jewish court. Afal pishachot mehem avdei kochavim, k'shirim. Okay, even though their signature, right, they were brought up in a court and they were signed by non-Jews. In other words, you could imagine it happened in a non-Jewish court and Jews were signed on it. But even if it were signed by non-Jews, by the way, you can imagine a situation where things aren't good and the batei din aren't functional. And the only place to go is to the court of the non-Jews, right? Imagine like in times when they don't allow Batei Din, right? There were times of Gzeirot and things, maybe they would then go to a regular court. It's possible. So Afal Pi Shechod Mehem Ovdei Kochavim, Ksherim, right? It works. Chutz Migitein Hashem V'Shechorei Avadim, where it doesn't work. And now we see the opposing opinion that we saw before. Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Elu Ksherim. Right? Even forgetting Hashem V'Shechorei Avadim, it works. Lohus Keru, the only problem is Bizman Shenasu Behedyot. Right? If it was done by a regular people and not in a court. Okay, so we're going to see why soon. But now we're going to just say first, Kapasik V'Tane, the Mishnah spells things out very clearly, and therefore they don't make any distinctions. That's really what Kapasik V'Tane is. They don't make any distinctions, and therefore we can assume when it says a shtar ha'oleber ka'otel ovdei kochavim is kasher for shar shtarot, they mean all types of shar shtarot. Lo shna mecher, lo shna matana, whether it's a sale or whether it's a gift. So now they're going to question that. Bishlama mecher, when it comes to a mecher, we understand why. Remember what we said before. The whole thing, right, is Ede Mesira Karate, right? If you say, certainly Rabbi Shimon, right, if you say that it works, why would it work? Because we don't really need the shtar. The shtar is just testimony to what happened. So in a mecher, that's clear, because what's the real issue? Michiyahiv Zuze Kamayu Hu Dekana. Ushtar Araya Ba'almahu. Right, when it comes to a sale, what's the real enactment of the sale? It's giving the money. As soon as you give the money, it's clear you purchased it. The shtar is just proof. Okay? It's not so critical. And therefore, if it was done in non-Jewish court, we don't care. But, right, de'i lo yaiv zuze kamayhu, lo hava mari nafshayu, ukotvina le shtara. If he never gave the money, nobody in their right mind writes a shtar before any money is passed hands, right? You'd be crazy to say, oh, this house belongs to you, and the person never paid you, right? You would never do that. Are you always at a closing, right? You're a real estate agent, right? At closing, what happens, right? Obviously, the money has to be transferred before you're going to sign and or right? Is it always or right? Something like that. Okay. Ela matana b'may kakane lav b'hai shtara, right? In a gift, it's just the shtar that's right. That's saying that you own this, right? Imagine you get a gift of stock from somebody, right? And it says, "I'm passing on this stock to you," right? That's the proof that you own that is the piece of paper. And v'hai shtar, and this shtar, okay, here's strong lashon, chaspa ba'almahu. It's nothing, right? It's like a piece of, I think chaspa is clay, maybe? It's like a piece of cheres, a shard. It's like a shard. It's nothing. Because it's signed by non-Jews. It means nothing. Okay? So Amar Shmuel, what does Shmuel say? This is a very, very famous line. Dina de machuta dina. Okay, this is Shmuel's famous for this line. Okay, dina de machuta dina. That means the law of the land becomes law, and that's obviously why Rabbi Shimon made this distinction between hedyot and court, because a court of a non-Jewish court, what they say is binding. Okay, and this is obviously has huge ramifications, and you know where how far you take this and where and all sorts of things. You know, people say what. Yeah, you could do this. The same question comes up with Israel, right? Does that mean the courts in Israel, right? Generally, this is meant for non-Jewish courts, right? What if, you know, you're like second, right? Do the secular courts in Israel have a tokef hilchati? You know, what this means basically is a very strong statement because it means by the law of halacha, you have to follow a non-Jewish court. It's very interesting. So that's why you can't say the shtar is chasba ba'alma because even in a gift, that shtar has a tokef hilchati of din. Okay, that's one answer. A second answer is Tanei chutz mi kigite nashim. Okay, that it's saying things in the end, according to this interpretation, matanot are not involved here. Matanot are not included. It's only things that are like gite nashim. Okay, the exclusions, okay, all the cases where you can't use this klal of erkaot is anything that's like itei nashim, and matana would be like itei nashim because the shtar is what's important. Again, this is according to the other tfisa, not that edi mesira karate, or at least that the shtar has to have, you know, has some halachic validity, and therefore anything like that where there's no kinyan otherwise, like a matana, that would be also like itei nashim, that you wouldn't be allowed to accept it if it was done by erkaot. That's the second interpretation. But Shmuel says it's all dina de mechuta dina, and anyway, very, very bold statement that has a lot of ramifications.